hype men.
Yeah,
dude, I'm not. See, that's the thing. Yeah. I'm not. I don't know. I like your hype men right before the O now.
It's nice. It's new.
I feel like we're starting. I'm gonna have a bit for the beginning, and then we'll just have like a full song.
Have you decided on your bit yet?
Nope. No, oh. I'm still thinking about it.
Okay.
Do you guys like? Do you guys like a Birdman having like a
okay.
like a
you're
like
workshopping it, right?
I'm workshopping. Yeah.
Right,
I'm okay. doing characters. I've been taking it to UCB.
Right.
The Improv in LA. I've been trying some new characters for that bit, but I'm gonna get one.
I mean, it's hilarious.
Thank you so
works
much.
Works every time.
Thank you guys. It's written by the writers of Parks and Rec. My new bit. We're back, guys.
In New York.
We're in New York.
Yeah.
Right. For those who have figured out that we do them all in 2 days.
Right.
this is a new round. This is sort of
yes.
a new setup. A new group of podcast recordings.
Correct. We have a bunch of big people coming through.
Big people coming through. We first want to thank Alex DeKid, the producer, for our opening new song. He produced the Dr. Dre I Need a Doctor song, which is big when we're recording this.
Yeah, so this is good timing.
This is good timing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for timing, he didn't actually produce
not
it.
True.
No,
not
Greg
at all.
Mayo produced it,
yes.
our engineer,
yep.
who is coincidentally been opening for Bon Jovi.
Which is pretty nice.
Which is kind of nice.
And that's actually seriously real. Yeah,
yeah
actually,
real.
I mean, like, it depends on your thoughts on Bon Jovi. Some people don't like him.
Well.
I don't like Bon Jovi, but I think it's big for Greg Mayo. You know what I mean? If you want to shit on Mayo.
We can all agree on that, right?
If you want to shit on Mayo. This is the Hype Men Podcast.
Yeah.
My name is Jensen. I'm here with Eric and Jeff from the Brothers Rosenthal.
Yeah.
The website, itsthereal.com.
That's us. Mm-hmm.
You guys do that.
Here in New York.
Also, hypemen.tumblr.com.
That's true. Also kind of plug ourselves. But here's the thing. We are basically, we take hip-hop and we look at it in a way that basically we think hip-hop was made to be looked at.
By?
3 Jewish kids.
Or...
Today.
4 Jewish kids
right.
today. You know what I mean? Like 4 actual Jewish people talking about hip hop, breaking it down, and basically exactly what the pioneers didn't want us to do. You know what I mean?
But we're doing it anyway. Right.
And today's guest I am honored to have on the podcast. It is hip hop photographer extraordinaire. If you have been in hip hop and you have had a photo taken of you, this man has come through.
Yeah.
His name is Jonathan Mannion.
Yeah. Good morning, good afternoon.
Yeah, that's your intro bit.
First of all, thank you for absorbing me into the faith. I'm actually Catholic.
Oh, that's cool.
Can
right.
you please leave?
I know.
Can you please
totally.
Leave?
All right, thanks. That's my time, everyone. Thank you
so
much.
Really? Well, we'll give you your bar mitzvah today.
Wow. Look, man, I'm cool. I don't get anything chopped off for that, right?
No.
Dance and like
no,
really...
not your bris. We won't give you your bris. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
That's not even a pause. That's just like
a great bar mitzvah and bar mitzvah as well.
Really?
MC Searches. 2 kids. They had Willy Wonka on the Chocolate Factory. There was like with Oompa Loompas and everything. It was unbelievable. It
like,
made me really want to convert.
That's every bar mitzvah.
That's everyone.
Wait,
every
single one. Are they twins or were these two separate events?
No, they did it in one event, but one masterful giant ceremony
of
craziness.
Wow.
It was cool.
Jeff is actually a twin and he had a B'nai Mitzvah, so he and his brother Dan.
Did you guys
my brother Dan too. But
this just got super Jewy.
Did you have 2 separate themes?
No.
No, they had one theme.
Sports.
Yeah. No.
What?
It was magazine covers.
So they were like men of the year, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, come
Jewish.
On. Don't hate on our mother.
Please, be nice
come
to
on.
Our mom. But funny enough, MC Search, which we could talk about.
I know, immediately.
I know. Our history, Jonathan went during my failed rap career. Jonathan was brought in to do my photography for a 12-inch single we were working on, with MC Search called Let's Talk.
Correct.
And somehow we convinced Interscope to let us do the photos in
Steve Stout's office.
even though the song had an extreme diss to Steve Stout.
Extreme.
Yeah.
Extreme.
It happens.
And so basically...
he doesn't care.
No.
He
was like, I'm going to make
the commissioner?
I'm like revamping McDonald's today, so
no
really I don't care.
I'm working for the Olympics.
Do people still call him the commissioner to his face? Like, are they like, what's happening, commissioner?
No, I'm sure the dude from IBM's like, excuse me, Mr. Commissioner.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. But the song was me and... was Search and I, and we... I would come in and I was basically an underground rapper coming into like Interscope and he was the A&R, and then the song over the time of it would like I'd become more Jiggy and I'd fall into sort of the
I'm sorry
major.
What
all right fine the major label listen here's let me break it down for you Jonathan basically sure. I'm here because I know like I'm kind of storied in hip-hop and I like the underground and like I can make your Def Jux reference
right
mm-hmm. Jeff on the other hand only listens to Young Jock
well no first of all
right
I'm a huge fan of the shiny suit era so I understand what Jiggy means
okay, fair enough but I'm just explaining you're much more new school
I just can't believe you said Jiggy in 2011.
Fine, whatever. And Eric, on the other hand, is here.
Hot,
Eric's here to sort of make it, you know, kind of even us out.
That's the only reason I'm here.
Yeah,
well, we
that's
should it. Definitely bring Jiggy back. I mean, yeah. I think that's I just the hottest
to.
Term.
Yeah. I would love to. so the photo shoot anyway shows us kind of, it told the story of like we did it in Steve Stout's office, and I started as an underground rapper, and then by the end, MC Search had bought me these gold teeth with hot coral and diamonds on them.
Fronts?
Yeah, he bought me fronts, and he bought me this Rough Riders jumpsuit that had my name embroidered on it, and it was so fun. We
do you still do you own that, or did Interscope own that?
No, he gave them to me.
Or did Jonathan own that?
No, they were gifts to me from Search.
Yeah. Oh, well, the fronts were, yeah. But the photos actually should be seen. They should be seen. I think they're worthy.
There are people on your website that definitely, I was like, I could be on this website. I don't know if I'm, worse than
it's gotta happen.
Cannabis. I was like, maybe cannabis is on here. I should be on here. No. But let's go. I mean, let's do the corny breakdown of ography. You know what I mean? Okay. Things that come to my mind.
Right.
And we could play the game.
Yeah.
Almost every Jay-Z cover.
Yeah.
Yes.
Seven of them.
Seven Jay-Z covers.
That's not bad. It covers a 10-year period. It's Reasonable Doubt.
Yeah. Yes.
Volume
heard of it.
One.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it's an album.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know any. Yeah.
Allegedly, it was good. People like it.
No big deal.
Yeah, no big deal at all.
Was he with Beyonce then?
Not a great way to start.
He wasn't with Beyonce then?
I think she was like 14, right?
Never heard it. Never so heard that album.
Let's hope not. Yeah. Reasonable Doubt, Volume 1, Volume 2, Blueprint 1, Dynasty.
Jeez.
What else? Black Album,
right?
American Gangster? It's like 10 years.
American Gangster, yes.
No. That was, yeah, another photographer.
Just like us, we don't take claim for that album either.
Who put together the commercial that brought your covers to life?
That was director Anthony Mandler.
Oh, right.
Who I love.
Huh?
Who I love. There was a time when it was like Mannion or Mandler.
Talented kid.
There was like a time when you were both taking photos.
Yep.
Yeah.
I hated that time.
Yeah, I can understand. It was like,
I hated when people made the mistake of going with that other talented kid.
Damn, really talented guy.
No, he's a good dude, man. He's been a friend for a long time.
And how does that feel to see all that stuff come out in that commercial? I mean, that was crazy.
It was good. And, I guess at first it kind of bent me a little out of shape. I'm like, man, he's stealing my stuff.
Right. They didn't involve
it's
you.
Crazy. I was involved, but it was kind of like, do it for the kids.
Right.
Everybody needs it, I say, yeah, they do, but they could just go buy the album cover and then look at it and enjoy it.
Right.
This doesn't advance us by doing this. And then I realized, he deserves it. If he wants to do it, then, Jay was certainly part of what we created.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right, let him have it. It's a nice tribute. It sort of, pays homage to the work that was created.
Totally.
If I did it, I'd be kind of dick riding, myself, which is never fun.
Yeah. Well, that's what we do all day.
Right.
So dick ride ourselves. Tell us how how did Jay-Z enter, how did you start working with Jay?
Back in, 95, 96, certainly I was aware of him through jazz. I mean, I came up in college radio, WKCO 91.9.
There you are.
Kenyon College, it was like, I would just steal every slot to make mixtapes of all the new stuff.
Man.
So that was my sort of thing. So it was like jazz led me into The Understanding, which led me into D&D after I moved to New York, was shooting here, there, Biggie's Platinum Party, and it just sort of led to... Who's this guy? Who's this Jay-Z guy?
So you're shooting party? You were shooting
party? I was shooting parties, okay. Running around. Yeah, I was omnipresent.
Were you being paid at that point?
No.
Okay.
No, not really. Maybe here and there, hey, we'll give you $300 to come through this party and shoot it, and we just want to have a look at everything you shoot.
Right.
Once people realized, because I was sending people photos, hey, keep me in mind for the next party.
Yeah.
This is the hustle.
Yeah.
But to me, it was a total hustle. Because my main job was working for this guy, Richard Avedon. So that was like 7 in the morning until 9 at night.
Also, that's pretty good, by the way.
Yeah, no big deal.
I know.
No big deal about...
He's taking a picture or two.
Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah.
Eric used to intern for Ansel Adams.
Okay.
Yeah, so he knows what it's like. It's
little landscape.
Landscapes,
action.
Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Carrying the camera to the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
It works. Yo, but, Eric's aperture game is mean.
Yeah.
F64, son. F64.
It was a different time in my life. So,
different time. Yeah. So you're doing these parties. Anyway, yeah. Doing these parties.
So I'm doing these parties or whatever. And one of the parties I did through a friend of mine, I shot the Fugees. Right when they were performing like little underground spots with like Smith and Wesson at the time.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Before the Fuji mega explosion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there was a girl named KB Payne who I've been searching for, so if she's out there and listening,
she's
give me
not.
A call. Probably not. it would be a wise move to not be there.
It's fair.
Anyway. So she said, look, I just got, over to Rockefeller Records. Why don't you come through? And there's this guy, he wants to look for a photographer, and I know you're hungry and you've done great work for us, so get your ass over here, show the book. So I showed the book to Jay. you know, he was like, yeah, dope, dope. What, you know?
Oh, also, yeah, John Mannion does one of the greatest Jay-Z impressions. He did it on my album, on the Hot Carl album. There's a Jay-Z impression done by John Mannion.
After the show, it's the after party.
I do that. I do. After the show, it's the after party. Then after the party, it's the hotel lobby. Then after that, we don't know about shit, so let's just follow Jay-Z and steal some of his Chris. And there's an open line. He just goes, holla.
Holla.
And Jay-Z's heard you do it, right?
He has, yeah.
Does he think it's crazy?
Yeah, he just kind of looks at me strange, but he knows it's dead on. Yeah, so he kind of doesn't want to say anything offensive because he knows, you know, I can jump on the mic and say something offensive.
But so good.
No, I never would.
That's awesome, though.
It's really a great impression. So you basically, you show him the book. Does that relationship, like when you, did you know it was going to be Jay-Z or were you sort of like?
Yeah. Yeah. Instantly, I heard Dead Presidents. I'm like, oh my god, this guy's out of here. You know, it wasn't sort of like, hey, I'm just new, and I'm are you guys cool? Are you guys hot? Right. Yeah, you're talented. That's what people tell me. Right. But it's like, you know, I'm studied. I'm Big Daddy Kane, DOC,
right?
Iced. You know what I mean? I was absorbed in that. So when I got here, you could instantly read the talent.
Yeah,
you know, and he was so cool and chill, and you know, I had like literally pages scribbled of notes, and he's like, man, you're on it, man. Do what you want to do.
Right.
Was this just his decision, or was Dame involved?
Dame was involved, but Dame was just money at that point. You know, Biggs was sort of silent partner, like, yeah, I got you. You guys do it.
Yeah.
And I'll just be floating around.
And in how many cases of these album covers, in all seven, how many of them are ideas that you bring to Jay-Z, and how many are, I mean, they're mostly collaborative, correct?
Yeah, I'd say each and every one of them was what came kind of from me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
It was certainly Reasonable Doubt. It was called Heir to the Throne, and I had another set of ideas, you know, that was going to be spit for that. Then it moved to Reasonable Doubt and said, okay, well, here's now my new set of ideas.
Right.
You know, and then it was like, okay, let's go to the roots of you, you know? So they were kind of work, but I said, I just wanted to, you know, for the volume one, it was like Go Back to Marcy. And it was the Elevation as he was setting the trends, and it was the Bentley, you know, first one with it.
Yeah.
And then it was the Ranges, and then it was the Thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it got to the point where, you know, we were just calling it, and he would just kind of roll along like, hey, we got to do it again. Let's go. And
that's crazy.
I said, okay, well, I'll come with my bag of ideas. And
do you hear the music before to get, really?
Infrequently. I mean, I work differently with different people,
right.
But with his situation, it was just an understanding of who he was,
right.
Based on kind of what he was doing, appearances out in the clubs.
Sure.
I'm going to try out this new song, see if you guys like it, kind of thing.
Right.
You know, but it was always just speaking to him just briefly, but kind of every single idea came from me, but obviously his presence and interaction in it is what elevates it to the next level.
Crazy. Well, let's take it to the next guy. And one of my favorite hip-hop photography, like, photos of all time, which is the DMX Blood of My Blood. And, like, how does that... I mean, and for those at listening, it's the one where he's just covered in blood,
right,
which I feel like is what they need to know. The idea is where does that... Like, and DMX, we don't know how totally crazy he is at that time, right? We know he's kind of crazy, but we don't know he's, like, the Charlie Sheen of hip-hop.
Wait, is he crazy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's definitely
Charlie
crazy.
Charlie Sheen crazy.
Well, someone's tweet was, Lindsay Lohan is the white DMX. That was funny. I can't give it credit, though. I don't know who did it. But, so, where does that idea come from? Like, that seems like such a great high concept. So
yeah. Well, I'd worked with him a couple of times, you know, and there was a real understanding and somehow a trust, whether it was like based on my other body of work,
sure,
or the people that knew me at Rough Riders that knew that I shot, you know, the Rough Riders first album cover compilation, Rough Riders Volume One with Eve and Drag On and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So that existed. The first time I met DMX was for the 4321
video. Oh yeah,
totally.
With LL.
Yep.
I shot a couple of just snaps. I just took him kind of aside into some abandoned thing, and we shot some stuff. He was like, man, this is dope. You having me swing bats at windows? Like, who are you? Like, I like you. All right. So we'll work again and then talk to the people. Then it was It's Dark and Hell is Hot.
Yeah.
I had that album cover.
Yep.
You know, it was when, you know, Where My Dog's At. I shot him for the Source magazine as well with the two dogs.
Oh, I love it.
It's a great shot.
So I think that kind of, each of those kind of moments solidified, like, oh, I get you. I get what you're trying to do. I don't have to be fearful. I look great as a final result.
Yeah.
You know, what do you want to do for this next thing? Here's my title. And they gave me Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood.
Mm-hmm.
Have at it. And I was like, what? Yeah. I was like, can I talk to him? They're like, no, you can't talk to him. He's just, you know, he's doing his thing, whatever. Yeah. You got to shoot in L.A. He's doing a movie. This is you. Come through. And I was like, All right. So I tucked myself in Barnes and Nobles and I was like drawing notes and studying African voodoo. And, you know, it's like some crazy, just as far out as I could go to bring in all the elements. Yeah, there's a crazy shot. It was like a dog skull on the head and then a serpent chain. And he wore that choker kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this is crazy. I'm onto some shit. Right. I'm going to go tribal. I'm going to go, you know, and each of the moments kind of hit, hit the target of what I wanted to do.
Right.
But really, I just wanted to push it to the extreme. I wanted to do something with shock value because I knew he didn't give a shit.
Right.
Yeah.
And he would take it there and allow me to do it. And it was a bit of a struggle, though, I have to say. I shot in L.A. We shot him the first night. He was so tired because he was in studio after shooting a movie that he literally fell asleep in the makeup chair.
Really?
We were doing this tribal makeup chair with, like, his friend holding his head.
Wow.
The makeup
God.
Artist was painting.
Like Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah. We woke him up for, like, you know, 10 minutes to get the shot. Shook him enough and he was just there and then fell asleep. And
oh my God.
Man, I gotta go home. I gotta see you tomorrow. So he left his car. Someone drove him home. Some orange lowrider. It was just crazy.
Obviously, yeah.
Wait, so he still had the makeup on?
No, probably took a. Maybe. I don't know. Night out on the town.
Yeah.
A little David Bowie reference kind of thing.
By the way, that wouldn't even be the weirdest thing he's done.
I know.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. That's like kind of normal.
So came back the next day. And, you know, I said, look, I got a shot plan for you, you know, it's like we got to do it. And it was just like literally 60 gallons of this blood, you know. We slaughtered this horse
in the back,
you know, put the head in somebody's bed who didn't pay me at that time.
It was in Dragon's bed,
right?
They always razzed him. He was always hazed.
True.
Wait, so is this a situation, and I don't know whether you normally do or not, do you normally play music for artists or is it so? What kind of music are you playing for DMX? Is it his music or
is it just like yelling?
Yeah.
like
barking.
I
had
yells,
a bark track made.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just arr. Something like that. A little chihuahua.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what was playing. You know, whatever was current, it was, you know, probably.
Because what can really get you in the mood, like to have, like, you know, more than just having the blood on you?
Meth.
Meth, okay,
meth
right,
will get
yeah,
you in
yeah.
the mood.
Or Rock a Flock of Flame.
That makes me want to see blood. When you pitch it to him, you know, like, is there ever a sort of like...
Yeah, no. Here's the story. It's like, hey, man, I want you to get in. And he was like, yeah, right. I was like, no, come on. This is the shot. This is the one. You got to trust me. He was like, man, dog, yo, I mean, I got these pants on. I was like, yeah, we all got pants on, man. I was like, you probably got them for free. You can call a Nietzsche right now and get another pair. Like, stop it. I was like, better yet, we're probably the same size. Yo, I dropped my pants. I was like, yo, here, have these. Just like me down
You're
to
kidding.
Boxer shorts.
Wow.
You know, and he was
awesome.
Like, he just laughed and put his hand on my shoulder. He's like, all right, man, I get it. I was like, I've never steered you wrong. We've been created some incredible images.
Yeah.
I have to get you in, and we got to do this, and we got to change the game, and you won't be sorry for it. And he got in, and he dipped it, and he got a little in his eye, and he was whinging a little bit. But ultimately, you know, as soon as that was over, we wiped his eye. Dude, I had chills the entire time I was shooting because I knew that we were creating something that was so next level and, like, just vicious and graphic and
it's such a win.
It is such a win photo. I feel like that's what I know of him. I feel like that helped me build, I mean, unfortunately what TMZ calls him now, but I'm saying it helped. I mean, it almost made part of him.
Right.
You know, that was almost like the, you know, what is he going to do next thing?
Yeah.
Came from that.
Yeah, sure.
And so, like, what is, when you're breaking a new artist, I know DMX wasn't a new artist, but, like, there is a responsibility that you are creating the image of what they are and who they are and, you know, everybody gets the sort of immediacy from the photograph of everything. So, sure. I mean, like, so how does that play into, so you're breaking a new artist?
Like, let's an example.
Yeah.
Let's say an example of a new artist that you had worked with.
Lil Mama.
Lil Mama, yeah. Well, I mean, I'd seen, you know, sort of, I knew my lipstick was popping and my lipstick is gooey and tastes like strawberries or whatever the song was. I knew that I just wanted to take her out of being the cartoon character. It's sort of like I did with Eminem, you know what I mean? It was like moving him from Slim Shady to, like, okay, this, I'm going to introduce the man, the person, you know, there is a concept, but let's go back to Detroit, let's go home, let's go to the foundation, let's build it.
Yeah.
That was the same sort of
You took him to thing. His boyhood home, right? That was,
correct.
Yeah, that was the shot in front of that of his home
as
a kid, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, and then we did Amsterdam as well, because that was going to be the original
title, right?
Title,
yeah.
So there were two versions of the cover that was put together. I mean, that was just like a dream experience.
You know, it makes
I didn't know that.
We should talk about Little Mama again, not Eminem.
But yeah, we're going back.
We're a Little Mama podcast. I'm joking.
All Little Mama all the time.
Yeah, all the time. But
going back to the all-important Little Mama.
Well, I mean, I was kidding.
No, but you were like, the Little Mama. And he unfortunately has shot Little Mama. Yeah. We found ourselves in a tough position, Jeff.
No, that's not my fault. That's Mannion's fault.
That is true. You did shoot Little Mama.
We played into it. It was cool. It was, you know, like, hey, hook us up. We need you. We need you to put your sprinkles on this. And I, all right, cool. So brought her to the studio, did kind of what she wanted. She was just, you know, she was developing who she was becoming, you know, and I think we took it there, you know, with the skirts and her style and whatever. And I just tried to make it feel as real of a moment as possible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I said, but I demand that we go to Harlem. And I want to go and I want to shoot you by some graffiti, just like a young kid, kind of like, this is where you are in this moment.
Yeah.
You know, and as it turns out, kind of made her look cute at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, so I was pleased that I had done both, fulfilled what the label wanted and the requirements, and then got something that I wanted that's a lasting picture that I can say, yes, I shot Little Mama and she's cute.
Yep.
Has there ever been a time when a label has chosen an image that you didn't really want? Like,
all the time.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, every album.
So you ever. You get edited real hard by the labels?
Yeah, you know, I'm a person that I put a lot of faith in people to kind of do the right thing and to be talented. The people that are chosen to do these jobs should be talented.
Yeah.
You know? Because, I mean, you're making
Wait, in the
right
music
thing.
Industry?
Yeah. I mean, that's the hope.
Yeah.
You know, so I tried to give designers a lot of opportunity to showcase their skills. And, you know, and a lot of them were heartfelt. Some of them were just banging it out and whatever, yeah, it's done. You know, like, yeah, you know, there were certain album covers that I really fought for. And there were certain album covers that I designed because I didn't want them to get messed up.
Like some examples?
Marshall Mathers LP.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, that was one I designed all the way through with Morning Breath, kid Jason Noto and Doug Cunningham. In
Morning
Brooklyn.
Breath's great.
The best.
Talent, yeah.
They're the best. Because they don't really care. Yeah. They're like, yeah, it's cool. We just want to do our art.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that's what's important. But Reasonable Doubt, another one. DJ Quick, Under the Influence. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just projects that was so close to my heart that I had conceptualized, visualized, created. And I just wanted to finish it off right.
Yeah, but, and talk about close to your heart. I only know this because when we would hang every once in a while, you shoot DOC for your person. Like, it's not, there's no project based in why you shoot DOC all the time, right?
Well, I've only shot him really for that one album. It ended up being like two kind of moments with him. But
I remember there was a
time
when...
I'm a huge DOC
fan. Yeah, maybe it was just you were thinking about shooting him on like a more yearly level. Like, it was like at the time you were... I mean, so what other, like for DOC, like what other person, like what other people do you shoot purely out of your passion? Are there other people? I know Quick, obviously.
Yeah, Quick is... I just saw him the other night, man. Mm-hmm. It was really a beautiful moment to, like, just reconnect. Mm-hmm. You know,
you actually connected him for me. I had a Quick song on my album, and Mannion helped clear it. You took me to DJ Quick's sister's house.
Yeah.
In the valley, He's like, I'll take you to his house. We'll get it cleared. And we played, like, Grand Theft Auto with him.
Yeah.
And then there was
at
a point
at that house with that balcony with the
there
drop
was a point
off.
Where yeah. there was a point where you looked at me and you were like, we should go now. it got a little violent. He looked at me and he goes, let's leave. You got your album cleared. Let's go. I don't want to be here
run
anymore.
For the hills.
Yeah. And by the way, that's the house where like all that shit went down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you were right. He's like a parent.
Yep.
let's leave, little bird.
What happened at the
There
house?
Was like a domestic violence thing, right?
I don't know.
You can Google it. Okay. There was some story he gets picked up by cops at that place, and it's like an ongoing 10-year story about someone suing someone, and there's a...
I think he's through it now. To speak to him, and, you know, I really kind of had a moment. I said, look, I know you checked out. I know you're dealing with your own situation, you know, but I was like, you're a genius, and I'm just grateful to know you. If I never see you again, at least you know that I've said it. And he's like, oh, man, dude, I've been going through it. And family and this person passing away. And, you know, he's a guy that is so heartfelt that he puts the whole world on his shoulders.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I arguably the most underrated producer of all time.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that.
Most likely.
And a total genius.
Total genius.
I'm sure certified if he took the test.
Yeah.
He would be Mensa and
it's,
crazy.
It's crazy. Like, let's talk the game.
Yeah. Oh.
So the game's a good example of someone who did. I mean, that's before he really broke, obviously. It was in the beginning. One of the most, I wouldn't even say overhyped, but one of the most hyped debuts of all time.
Totally. Sure.
So where does that...
And he backed it up, by the way.
Yeah. It was a great album.
Yeah. Pause.
Yeah.
Just for game.
Yeah.
That's my dude. Yeah. Pause.
Coincidentally, his career's on pause as well, unfortunately. Like, where does that idea come from? Like, where does the... Because I love that image so much.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this was a situation that, you know, they said, okay, I had just done the Aftermath XXL cover.
Yeah,
right.
which was right before.
Yeah, we're throwing him. Yeah.
Eve Game Dre.
Yeah.
Busta.
Busta in a hat.
Busta.
Yeah.
Did he have a hat?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We were like, who's that?
Yeah.
It took us a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, everybody was trying to upgrade, and it was very funny. I spent probably about $20,000 out of my pocket to
really?
Do that shoot.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to shoot at the old Ambassador Hotel. Thankfully, I did. Yeah. Now it's a piece of history because the hotel's gone.
Gone.
Mm. We rented two, like, you know, Hummer. Those little golf carts, Hummer golf carts. Yeah. Dr. Dre broke one. He stomped on the brake too hard. And I was like, I got that, man. Don't worry.
Yeah, just imagine what he would do to it now.
I know.
Only $2,000. Okay, man. Cool.
If he did
imagine
it now,
the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Dre smash. If he did it now, he'd just eat the thing.
Oh my god! Pick it up, throw it across and the lawn.
Just enormous.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Punt pass kick.
With the yeah.
Yeah, so Game. So you shot the Aftermath.
I met Game there, mm-hmm. and just, you know, I knew that this was like one of the most anticipated artists, so I went a little bit over the top with what I wanted to do for him. You know, I was like, all right, let me bring in this thing, let me tie in Game and gaming, but on an international level, and mm-hmm. somehow I just got to speak to him, and it just was right. He's mm-hmm. like, oh, you did all that? He's like, I'm going to see you from my album cover. And he's one of very few people, I think, in the industry that actually says something. When he says it, he means it.
Yeah.
You know? And so he's like, I'm going to call you. And called me, like, you know, in a couple of weeks. He was like, yo, I'm ready to go. Let's go.
Wow.
And he said, you know, I want to pay tribute to the people that opened the doors for me to walk through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's Dre, it's Tupac, it's Biggie, it's Easy. Whatever. It's, you know, it's like West Coast, it's East Coast. He's like, I really want to focus on the images that were made and advance upon them so you can feel kind of what it was, mm-hmm. but kind of move forward. So we did that. We just kind of went down the list. I'm like, tell me every artist that's important to you.
Wow.
You know, and just really went deep, deep West Coast, you know. And what I did was interesting. I called him up and I said, I want to come to your house, you know, wherever the hell you are in Compton, and I want to shoot you before the label gets you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to shoot you just on my terms. And he's like, yeah, okay, cool, man. I'm, you know, I'm Brazil by the high school. I was like, all right, cool, man. I'll see you in a couple minutes. And he was like, what? Like, you know how to get here? I was like, yeah, just, it's okay, man. I know every back alley of every city and every hood in the country
because
of my location scouting. I was like,
yeah,
I'll see you in 20 minutes. Showed up, and he's like, yo, you're the real deal. Like, you weren't kidding. Like, I really thought you were kidding. And we went and shot a bunch of pictures, and that's what kicked it off. It was that famous one sitting on the table with all the guns that started out as him eating a bowl of cereal. And then he was like, man, you got to have some weed for sick. You know, like, his boys were just, like, throwing weed on the table.
Yeah.
Oh, well, if you got the weed, you got to have the scale. If you got to have the scale, then you got to have the bag. And if you have the bag, you got to have the gun. And if you have the gun, then you need a bigger gun. And so it just became this,
Let's
you know,
make the statement now. Game a completely genuine... That's an actual, not a bit,
not
a
character.
Act, not a character.
No.
You went to his house before the label.
Correct.
Before everything, and this is what he was living.
This was not a shot that was preconceived, like, we're going to do guns on the table like this.
Because I'm a huge Game
organically.
Fan. I'm a very big Game fan. But I do have, like, a small feeling that some of it is a little contrived, as far as, like, how gangster he is. Just a feeling I
really?
Had. A little bit. Okay. Not in a mean way, but I just felt like... he's so talented in a way for me, and not only that, like, he was so young when he debuted. I was always like, I don't think he really lived. It's like when Busta Rhymes talks about guns to me, I'm always like, you were in Leaders of the New School,
right?
Had songs about the PTA, like, right. There's no way. But but with Game, I felt a little genuine, but then I was sort of like, I don't know if that really happened. Is that, you know? And you went there and it was really happening.
No, it was really there. He was really there and present in that moment. And, you know, there's a moment actually that we shot for his first album cover where Dre came through with a lowrider. It was like a...
Oh, yeah.
I love that shot.
It's a great shot.
Yeah. Great shot.
You know, and it was sort of... That was a huge day for me because I'd never shot Dre before. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a sprinkle moment with Eminem, but it was like Dre, Compton, lowrider. It was in my mind. I'm like, oh, my God. I've just transported myself back to a moment that I wanted to attach myself to.
You could put that picture next to any Express Yourself publicity shot, and it looked like it was that year.
Exactly.
Yeah, didn't look any different than the shots that had happened for NWA.
Yeah,
no,
so totally.
I love that shot.
So he had gone anyway, and there was a moment of, you know, a potential interaction. There was, you know, there was warring going on, basically.
Yeah.
And to see Game click into a different person, I know that there is real substance to it.
Yeah.
You know, the way he just looked and calmed people down and looked and sent somebody to, you know what I mean?
Right.
It was sort of like, no, you can't do it now. There's too many people. Do that over there, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the little sort of, you know, sort of banter back and forth. He's like, no, put it away. It's not that. It's all right. Everything's cool.
Yeah,
you know. And I'm sort of, meanwhile, I'm like, okay, everybody, pack the cameras. You get in the truck. Hand me a camera. I'm gonna duck down. You guys go over there. Start the car.
Yeah.
Like, we just didn't know because there was, you know, it's like straight out of Boys in the Hood. Cars idling down the street. I'm like, oh, it's a little realer. You know, you drive around and you're like, oh, it's nice houses and yeah. cool and people take care of it and lawns are manicured. But it's real.
Does realism for you, did you ever think about getting into, and I don't know if you've done documentary films, but did you ever think about getting into documentary films? Because that's what you do is you take a moment, but all that reality that's going around it is taken out after that one moment, right?
Sure.
Had you ever considered getting into documentary films or?
Yeah, I mean, actually, of all films created, that's mm-hmm. the one, you know, that's the genre of filmmaking that I respond to most. And I mm-hmm. think now it's coming more to that. Like, that's the direction that I'm moving
cool.
towards, because out of one photo, like, I'm a documentary
yeah, right.
filmmaker. It's yeah. just there still.
Yeah, right. You know? Yeah, exactly.
Especially hip hop. So.
Yeah, well, yeah. totally.
Yeah, I don't see in rock. It's a little less. I mean, you don't really see the realism in. I remember you did Saliva, didn't you?
Yeah, Saliva, Sum 41.
Pretty good at this.
Sum 41.
Sure, it's not yeah. like Sum 41 was really breaking a hotel room when you shot them breaking.
They
hotel.
Really were, though. Really? Actually, that's truth. It's on Sunset. Right. It's the one that's like free HBO. It's like right by Highland.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally.
It's like tucked off the street. It's run by, you know, a couple mm-hmm. Asian people, and we ran in like, hey, I need a couple of rooms. We actually got like 6 rooms. Like, hey, we're a band, which is yeah. up and coming. It was all on my credit card, despite the fact that
man.
That Lior said, like, just go crazy and do break everything. I'm right. like, yo, no, it's on my card. Like, you send your card, and then I'll burn the whole place down. Like, yeah. So it was just a guitar through the TV, yeah. and we figured, and actually, that makes a really loud noise. I don't know if anybody knew that, but
we do. We knew that.
Yeah, that's right. We're always doing that.
Wait, just one more thing about Game. Did you shoot the follow-up cover?
Yes. Every Game cover.
Every Game cover. Wow.
Yeah.
He needs more covers. I don't understand why there's no new album. Yeah,
he
right?
does.
Yeah. I don't get it. Let's just go through some people. I think that's kind of a fun game.
Sure. Foxy Brown.
I love Foxy Brown.
I mean, you made her look hottest.
You did.
In that shot. Yeah. I mean, there's
in the XXL with yeah. the fur background.
Yeah. 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 There's no better shot of her.
Yeah. I agree. And there's actually one better from that session that I like.
Yeah.
And it's, again, like some blue bikini. I don't know. I really, somehow I get her. I'm a huge, you know. Somebody asked what my personal project, like what I would shoot for free.
Mm. Yeah.
I shoot everything in the Caribbean for free. It's just like that is my passion point.
Mm.
I'm a Caribbean cat, whether it's Soca in Trinidad. I'm going right. to Carnival next week, 7 times in a row.
Nice.
You know, but like, you know, 10 years in Jamaica.
Horn. I wish we had the horn. I wish we could. We all thought of the same effect at the same time. Shit. We got to be faster.
I got a little lighters into the air.
Flags up.
I know. Good thoughts to Buju.
Yeah.
Please, all of us, please.
Yeah.
All right. No, not good thoughts. Never mind. I don't want good thoughts to Buju Banton. But she was fun to work with.
She was amazing. I get it. I've had a couple of like little run-ins with her, like sitting in a Bentley outside on 23rd Street. Right. She's like, they're after me. I was like, who's after you? Like, right. I just left you 2 minutes ago. It's like someone snapping pictures. I was like, all right, babe, just stay in your car.
So you saw the madness
I'll
building.
Be right down. Yeah. And, you know, I came down. She's like, thank you. I don't know. They were coming. And someone was trying to yell at her for making a U-turn in a bus zone. I'm like, yo, leave her alone. She's having a hard day. Yeah. Her hearing's a little right. off now. Yeah. Like, she yeah. probably can't understand you. Like, just diffused it. I yeah. was like, come on up. Come get a glass of water. You want a Roman Coke? You want something?
Yeah.
She chilled in my house for, you know, on 23rd Street.
Is she Foxy minutes. To you or is she Inga?
No, she's Foxy. Mm. Yeah, you know, I was introduced as that
okay.
to that's her. And I mean, I know her as Inga.
Yeah, yeah.
Lauryn Hill.
Again, a moment in time, I think, and one of the last moments of Lauryn Hill, really as Lauryn Hill, mm. as everybody loves her, remembers
right.
her,
yeah.
upholds her to be the best MC female,
yeah.
you know, to touch the mic, period.
Again, not honey, a meal, I would say first, then.
Sure. Better. I would say Bird Lady of Dipset.
You're onto something. But, I mean, did you feel that coming? Did it, was it like, oh, Lauryn Hill's
No. She was so gracious.
Yeah.
I mean, look, there were definitely signs. Like, I shot with a mirror under my chin. Like, pause. I have to pause.
No, that's fair. It's okay. A mirror.
It was a fact.
Unless we have a dude. Unless there's a dude named Amir that we know. Amir was under the my roots? Chin. Yeah, that's true. All right, pause.
It was if there was a like naked guy in the mirror.
Yeah.
That's what's pause.
Just in case.
Yeah. Just in case. Have to be cautious.
You know, but it was a moment where she would look into the mirror and then look up to the camera. I was like, oh, babe, you got to give. You know, she would just wanted to see what she was doing and be fully, you know, aware and secure. There was a control element that was kind of happening, you know, that I thought was weird, but I'd worked with her before. I'd shot her before. She knew me before. I'd sent her prints. I talked to her on the phone. I talked to her mom. Like, you know, it was the early run of what it was. So she knew that it was somebody who wanted to elevate her, you know?
Right.
And so I was like, you got to give a couple looks to the mirror and a couple to me. Otherwise, we're just, I get the leftovers. You know, it's like you take a bite and then give me it. You know,
I mean, she's shooting for herself at that point.
Yeah.
You got one? Do you want me to keep going?
Memphis Bleek.
Yeah.
Which is the best thing he's ever done is that photo.
That's yeah. a great, great,
with the,
great
with
cover.
The three
Rockefeller chains.
Yeah, yeah. Five, three, all four. Made diamonds. Yeah.
It's wonderful.
That was a gem, and it happened totally naturally and organically. I was like, you know, let's go over the top with the support. He had the chains in, he walked on, and then took a bunch off. Mm. He just wore them all on the street. You know, I was like, well, yeah, let's rock them all. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And he did it, and somehow this diamond contraption kind of happened. So it was like a nice extension and elevation and support. But from day one, Bleek and I have been good and friends, and there was an understanding. So
very cool.
The understanding?
Nice.
Saw that.
You got it going. I love the Akon shot
in
the courtroom.
Yeah.
And that one seems to be what he's... I mean, I see that shot more than I see anything else.
Sure. Yeah. Where did that idea come from?
They had an idea that they wanted to, you know, it was an extension of this, you know, convict situation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was an idea that was brought, like, yeah, we want to do outside on the courtroom steps. I was like, well, let's just do it all then. You know what I mean? Like, sure, I'll do that one and no problem. But the one that was seen the most is the one of him on the stand. And,
yeah,
right.
You know, we had other shots that were presented, but, you know, hand on the Bible and the thing and the swear and the hand, you know, and I think that it was a good moment. It wasn't a shoot that sort of like I was moved by, because it was sort of executing somebody else's idea.
Sure. Yeah.
In which case, it's sort of like an ad job.
Sure.
You know, it's like,
illustration,
here's what we need. They need to hold the bottle. The label's got to be forward. Like,
right.
Okay. Nay, I can do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but I liked him. There was real presence.
Yeah.
To who he was.
There's two people now who are probably bigger than just about anybody who both consider themselves like art come to life. Have you worked with Kanye or Lady Gaga?
I have not worked with Lady Gaga. I would be happy to. No problem. But I think there's a different stratosphere of working with, like, Terry Richardson, working with, you know, these people that have these, you know, these names. The people that want to go to the names, most of the time, some of them don't really care what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, like, Lady Gaga does listen to the podcast, so.
So. Lady Gaga, come and see me. Don't bring your egg.
Actually, yeah, please. Yeah. Lady Gaga might be pause.
Yeah.
That's true.
And Kanye?
Kanye. I did Kanye's first magazine cover ever for The Fader. And it was, you know, sort of miles ahead of the next one that was to come. I shot him also for The Source with everybody, kind of the last Rockefeller moment.
Oh, is that with everyone?
Yeah. No, I think you're thinking of the XXL one.
Okay. Okay.
But not that one.
Okay.
No, it was literally everybody.
Okay.
Everybody. Ronson,
Just Blaze,
really everybody.
Yeah.
Some new kid that they were signing, another kid that they were trying to sign, but it was like really the last. It's a picture of them all laughing. I don't know if you've seen that from my arsenal.
Okay,
It's everybody laughing at Beanie Siegel. It was Bleek.
Everyone's laughing at Beanie Siegel, like real life.
he said something. Oh, Beans, I love you, man.
All right. I said it.
There was a moment of like this moment of laughter that he said something stupid or funny or whatever, and everyone was just like buckled over laughing. And like 2 weeks later, it was like the separation of Jay-Z and everybody going. This is like the last moment of Rockefeller was that entire giant shoot.
It's the last happy day Owen Sparks had. You know what I mean? That was after that, it was just sad.
It was.
Big Pun.
Big Pun is a king. Yeah, he such a great, gracious kind of person. You know, like, never wanted to be fussed over. Like, even in the end when he was heavy and he really had his mindset of losing and dropping pounds and whatever, he was like, man, Jay, you know I can only stand up for like a minute. You know, like, and I was like, yeah, man, it's cool. I need about, you know, about that time.
Yeah.
And then just sit down when you need to, you know. And but all the way through, he never wanted to be fussed and still had more swag than everybody.
Yeah.
Like, he just, you know, as that dude just leaning against the Benz, I shot him through, like, the sunroof.
Right. Mm.
It's just, like, the coolest, coolest cat. Nicest, humble. I shot him a couple of times. That's the shot.
Jeff is showing it.
One of my favorites, man, up it's in really the Bronx. We did it for the Terror Squad album cover. One of the dudes, I think it was Sace.
Okay.
He got, like, you know, there were undercover cops everywhere and on him, and he was like, oh, man, finally, I made it to this moment. Roll up. I rolled this last night. Cops, put your hands on the window.
Really?
Gone off to jail. I was like, how are we going to do this album cover with everybody else? So we had to concoct this other story of like one person getting in touch with Pun, Pun getting in touch with Fat Joe in a barbershop, Joe getting in touch with, you know, Cuban Lynx at the Plaza Hotel, laid so up crazy. With some chick, you know, so.
Yeah. Oh, weird. But he was like, I've been waiting to get arrested publicly. This is my moment.
Yeah, he had swag, man. He had more swag than everybody calling out swag.
Right,
swag,
right.
Well, speaking of, Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne has swag.
Yeah. Wait, you shot, so the stuff you've done for him, is it mostly magazine or no?
No. It's oddly, it was funny because they went through that whole pen and pixel era.
Yeah
right.
You know,
yeah.
Which nobody really got to touch. Yeah. You know, so but I would do every press and publicity shot. Mm-hmm. The first time I worked with him was XXL cover. It was with everybody. It was all Cash Money. It was Juvie, Baby Wayne. So that was my introduction. And you know, at that point, I had the Jay-Z sort of DMX and everything, you know, in my arsenal already. So I went down to New Orleans and I was like, yo, man, this is incredible. And like, and Wayne, like, literally had, you know, like 2-inch dreads.
Right.
And yeah. Was eating a candy bar and drinking, you know, quarter water.
Right. Right.
You know? And, you know, that sort of began the relationship. Then it was like, we need more press and publicity because Pen and Pixel only does Pen and Pixel covers.
Right. Yeah.
That's it. It's one shot out of 5 shots of a session, you know, on the side of a mini mart.
Right. And diamond letters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Bling it out. Yeah. Why not? Sure. Light it on fire. No. Spin it.
Please, whatever. Everything.
Photoshop some bears in.
Yeah, right.
Photoshop asked them to stop. Can you guys stop, please? This is crazy.
But yeah, it was an ongoing thing. I mean, I've worked with him for, you know, like 12 years probably.
And how
I
has did, that been to see him from Quarter Order?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Quarter Order and Candy Bar to
amazing. The
biggest person
biggest
in the
person
world.
Rap. Yeah, I mean, what?
It is. Yeah, it is. And you know, I think in that moment, like, he was he's very observant, mm-hmm. and he's brilliant. You know what I mean? And then on top of that, talented with a unique voice, a real presence, and like that confidence of being in that crew and weathering every storm and still coming out on top every single time.
It's been a lot of storms.
You know,
been
man,
a lot of storms.
He's waited, he's waited his turn, man, and deserves all the success that he gets and really gets it and listens and is smart and artistic. And
do Lil Wayne conversations, are they based in reality? Like when you, I mean, that's a real question. I mean, when you talk to him, is it like, we're going to shoot this? He goes, cool, man, thank you. Like, is it very, it's connected?
Totally.
Yeah.
100%. Like, yeah, he's... You know, he did a little interview, and like it was amazing to see. Like, and this was in the midst of the Styrofoam cups.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
I don't know what was. Yeah, in it.
It was magic. Magic, right, magic. Magic was in it.
Chocolate milk.
Yeah.
Genius water.
Genius water was in it.
I love it. You know, he just like kind of he's so professionally just snapped into character. You know, it's like, hey, when it comes to working with Jonathan Mannion, it's the truth. Every time he goes, like, it was just like snap from, you know, turn up my shit over there, like had his people playing the tunes and getting the vibe together. And but man, he's total professional.
Yeah.
Totally amazing. I have such
Well, the ESPN
real
blogs,
respect.
The ESPN blogs he does always make me think it's like the most coherent human.
And yeah,
he,
really.
And it's almost like he does one character, and then when he does the ESPN blogs, I'm like, you're so amazing. You're like better than Bill Simmons.
Yeah, I mean,
he's brilliant, brilliant, and there's no slowing down. There's no sort of, you know.
So creatively, is he his own boss?
Yes, I saw him. I shot him for Rolling Stone, and it was amazing. There's
Which Rolling Stone cover?
Like this, it wasn't the cover. It was just a feature done on him. And I did this crazy shot with this like chopped and channeled car with like one of these, what do you call them? The white wheels. What do you call them? Like a hot, not a hot rod, but like a almost like a rat rod.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, yeah, sure. Like sure.
Cool stuff. Anyway, but I heard him in studio doing the tune. I get money like a motherfucker, more than you ever seen with Fab and whatever.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
dude, just off the. He's like, okay, I got it. All right, punch me in. Let's go. Boom, dropped it. Came out, listened to it. And I was like, hey, can I just... Like, I was in such awe. I was like, I need to take a picture of you right now. He's like, man, you can't bother me when I'm working. I was like, I have total respect for that, dude. Yeah. Like, because that's just like me. Like, you know, that... You know, it's like if somebody's asking me some crazy question when I'm in the middle of a shot, like, yo, don't ask me that right now. I'm doing my... What are you doing? And so, you know,
Jeff's showing us the picture again.
Oh, yeah.
I guess it's like a car culture, like a lowrider car culture looking.
Yeah, thing. It's like, but it's super deconstructed.
Yeah, right.
It's crazy. Well, and I guess this is one of those ones where, no, I mean, don't throw anyone under the bus, obviously, but like, what is the craziest, like, what is the story that kind of like rises to the top of what, you know, like what happened? What's the craziest thing?
ODB.
Oh, yeah, and you shot ODB.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In his boxers.
In his boxers.
Yeah, in his boxers, yeah.
And what, I mean, can you elaborate? I mean,
no,
really, like, that crazy? It's that insane. Like, you show up with an idea,
of course,
and it,
I can.
Yeah, okay,
of course I can. Yeah, we, yeah, it was for the, I don't know, can we say that? Is it
what?
No, it was for the Nigga Please album.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. It was a phrase.
Yeah, okay.
You're just saying the album title. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
that's my one a year.
Yeah, 1 year. Yeah. No one knows you look like a very skinny Kevin Smith. No, we could say you look like anything. Anyway, go on.
It's not Jewish.
No, neither Kevin. Yeah,
that's cool.
Fair.
Or not, or whatever.
He's also anti-Semitic now.
I have a lot of Jewish friends. My best friend is Jewish.
My best friend is Jewish, guys.
Which is actually
Jay-Z?
The
truth.
Yeah. Jay-Z's your best friend.
Shine.
Also. So ODB, so you have a plan.
So my plan was...
Yeah.
They had sent photographers as the label to go and shoot him a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he never showed up, or he didn't, or they didn't get it, or ODB walked in and was like, eh, I don't like you. And it walked out, like one of those kind of moments.
Yeah.
And they knew that I was war tested. They're like, all right, we got one for you.
Is this Loud?
This is Elektra, I guess. Oh, at this point.
Yeah.
Was okay. It?
Yeah, they put out
Missy,
those, yeah.
Missy and Busta's.
Okay. Yeah, it was Elektra. Yeah, Elektra, right, yeah.
By the way, remember when they were record labels?
Awesome. And budgets,
did
I'm
that,
sure.
Yeah. Did that happen?
No. Labels never had budgets, and there weren't labels.
Right.
So. So we waited around. It was Saturday morning. You know, we waited at the studio downtown, Sun Studios, and it was, you know, stylist, couple of assistants. We were ready to go. We'd set everything up, lit everything, totally prepared. He had a couple of requests. He wanted a bed there.
Sure.
He wanted to dress up as Rick James.
Naturally.
And he wanted to dress up as Donna Summer. Those are his requests. I was like...
You must get that a lot.
Yeah. Dude,
all the time. You wouldn't believe it. Yeah. More Donna Summer than anything.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I already did that with...
No. Yeah, don't out. We almost out someone.
Little mama. So you have to go pick out an outfit that resembles Donna
Summer?
Yeah,
we got it. You know, I mean, we had a great stylist that, you know, went and found this crazy costumes of, like, you know, this earth, wind, and fire sequence yellow.
Right.
And
that's the one that's on the cover.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. And actually, what's funny is, like, you know, after about 3 or 4 hours and, like, you know, 5 or 6 beers, mm-hmm. you know, it's just like, we're like, he's not showing up. Because he kept on calling, like, I'm not coming. Send me $20,000 and I'll show up.
Wow.
Hang up the phone. Like, we get him on the phone an hour later. They're like, we're going to draw a stick figure of you on the cover. We're not going to shoot you. We don't care.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't want to show up to your thing, this is the art director speaking, then we're fine. And it's fine. And just don't. And enjoy your day or do whatever. You know, go buy a new pair of Wallabies.
Yeah.
So,
totally.
You know, anyway, so finally he was like, all right, fine, I'm coming. So he came in Wallabies, 2 different colors, 2 different socks, half
Punky
short.
Brewster reference.
You remember those pants that could turn into shorts?
Yeah.
So he had one leg on, one leg
Shouts
off.
Shouts to Mark Echo.
Yeah.
Genius.
Yeah.
So he came in and we just went right into it. He was sort of like, yeah, I'm ready, but let me sit down first. And so he sat down on the edge of this bed,
mm-hmm.
and started like tearing up these little pieces of paper. I was like making these like prop crack rocks. I was like, dude, is he? I was like, yo, what are you doing, man? He's like, you know. I was like, no, I
no,
don't.
Like,
and then
don't,
it dawned on me, like, you know, as it was, I was like, oh my God, he just made props for me. Like, this is awesome. You know, out of paper.
Like origami.
You know, totally, dude. He's a genius. And they were all like little birds of, you know.
So oh, crazy. God. No, not birds.
No.
That is not how you expected that morning to go.
Oh, man, no. Well, at this point,
afternoon.
Yeah.
Solidly.
So what happened? Yeah, keep going.
So he took a fancy to this assistant stylist that was there, right? And so he's like, babe, come sit next to me. I need to feel something, you know? Come here. He took his shirt off. Like, took his pants off. The one leg pant thing. Right? Kicked off the shoes. The shoes walked out by themselves. Socks walked out by themselves. Grimy.
Yeah.
Grimy. A little. And, you know, finally he was down to his boxer shorts. And, you know, we're all sort of looking at the stylist like, it's okay. We're all ready to jump in and we'll all go.
Case,
like,
sure.
we're not putting my family in danger.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, y'all are here because of me. And,
right.
So you're saying she wasn't super into it.
She was like, no. I mean, she was French. Yeah. She was like, like, no, it's cool, it's cool. You know, like, and we're just like, I'll go with it. I just wanted to see what was going to happen. It's kind of sick and twisted, but I just want to see where I was going to go. Right. And he dropped his pants, you know, fucking Willy Wonka out for the world to see.
Yeah.
And that's when we stepped in. You know, we're like, all right, you got to go home, stylist.
That's what the bed was there for.
And he was just laughing his head off, because he knew he pushed the buttons, and that's all that he was trying to do.
Right.
It wasn't out of, like, it was very calculated in its madness.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, come on, man, I'm ready to shoot now.
That's
like,
so crazy.
He had calmed down for a second, put on this Rick James thing, suit, documented that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to be in control. So he was like, okay, shoot me. And it would do this pose. Shot. Now stop. Don't shoot me. Okay, shoot me. You know, like, he would have these moments of, like, whether it was thinking of the next pose or otherwise, or whether it was just control, or wanted to see how he was pushing my buttons to see how I'd react.
Wow.
So
and,
crazy.
You know, thankfully, I'm, like, one of the most patient dudes. But, he asked for some females to show up.
Yeah.
Females.
It's so crazy, because he was married. It shocks me. I know. I'm so shocked by this. Yeah. I thought he had this perfect marriage. You
and
know
then
he
started telling me how to light my shots, and I was like, well, I think we're just about done. He's like, I don't want it to flash. I was like,
it's like, I worked with Scorsese, it was lighter.
Well, actually, he works with Richard Avedon, too.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And Ansel Adams.
At the same time. That's how I knew him. Yeah. That's why we had such a good rapport.
As we wrap up, what rappers or musicians in general have you not shot yet that you really are angling to shoot?
Yeah. Angling, yeah.
Man, what would you think it is?
That was a big pun. Okay.
Oof.
Okay, go for it. Who are we thinking?
Oh, man.
I mean, you pretty much shot everybody.
Yeah, I mean, in hip hop, it's pretty thorough. Yeah. You know what I mean? Big L, I miss, but I shot a mural. You know, I shot Tupac's mom, sister, family, murals, stuff like that. But I mean, Tupac, if he is in Cuba, I'd love to shoot him in Cuba.
Right.
He listens to the podcast, so hopefully that'll work out.
I have a British passport, so I can actually show and work.
I understand.
Got my work papers in order. rest in peace. That's a gap in my kind of career.
Yeah,
and one that's a sad one. I know.
Man,
I
you're a West Coast enthusiast.
I'm a world enthusiast. Yeah. Man. You know, France, Cuba, Japan, like, whatever. Yeah. Let's go.
Can you give us something about Avedon?
Avedon was one of the most generous dudes. It was like getting a PhD. Yeah. You know, working for Richard Avedon was working for somebody who revolutionized photography.
Yeah.
Arguably the best to ever touch a camera. It'd be like learning basketball from Jordan.
Right.
You know,
Or gambling. Or gambling from Jordan. That'd be also
correct.
He is
amazing.
He's a pretty pro.
Good. Is he good?
Oh yeah.
Yes. Mostly on golf shots. What? And as we wrap up for reals, what is like? What? Who's on? Who's coming up? Who do you have?
Who's
in
coming
the,
up? Who? Would, yeah. I mean, to answer quickly, the other one.
Yeah.
I'd love to shoot Sade. I want to shoot Living Legends. I'd love to shoot Depeche Mode. Totally bizarre and weird, but like, you know, it's about shooting the people that have always made a difference.
Yeah, Sade would be crazy. That's an old Dirty Bastard-ish story if you shot Sade, right? I mean, she's...
Oh, man, yeah.
Can't look at her, I heard. It's like a crazy... She
is that right?
Comes out of concerts 2-3 hours late.
Yeah,
really?
It's supposed to be crazy.
No, she can, but she's brilliant. It's just like one of those, I don't know, it's just one of those, I'd love to shoot Sir Ben Kingsley. I think his depth of his
really
performance
cool.
are amazing. Like, I'm kind of moving a different direction. I'd love to work with anybody that wants to work with me. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to.
That's why we're here. That's why we're here.
We'd like to shoot
Jeff. I've seen your videos.
Here's what we want you to shoot Jeff in, though. We want you to dress him up as Donna Summer.
Right,
exactly.
And then we're going to hit him with fish. And while we're hitting him with fish, I want you to shoot it.
But I want sisters doing it for themselves, Donna Summer.
That's right.
You have a certain air of Donna Summer that you want to shoot. Well, this has been an absolute honor. Again, this, beyond anything, his portfolio is just retarded.
I mean,
look at it online. It's
like seriously retarded.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
He shot Corky from Life Goes On. Literally every shot is the one that you've loved in a hip hop album.
Yeah,
there's no one with a better portfolio and minus my shots with you.
Of course.
take those out and it looks a lot better.
Shouts to the commissioner.
My name's Jensen.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Eric.
And we want to give a big shout out to John Mannion.
Yeah.
Jonathan Mannion.
JonathanMannion.com.
Check out the vlogs. Check all that stuff.
Can you give us a shout out for the Hype Man podcast at hypeman.tumblr.com, but in Jay-Z's voice? We're going to use this forever and tell people that Jay-Z endorsed us. this. So go, it's hypeman.tumblr.com.
Come on. I don't know if I could do it, man. What show am I on again?
It's the Hypeman podcast.
Yo, this is the Hypeman podcast, man. You tuned in.
And then now Jay-Z's been on our podcast.
The laugh.
Thank you guys so much. This has been Hypeman. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
All right. Take care.